The title of the message today is, What Did You Bring Back from the Feast? I had given a message under the same title when I went to Estonia in 2011. And when I returned from that site, I gave a message with that title. And I'd like to give that same message, only revised, for the current feast. We're back from the Feast of Tabernacles. Now we return to our routine that we left. And I hope it was an enjoyable period for everyone. Time to get together with old friends, meet new ones, chance to meet up with and spend time with family, time to visit and enjoy different surroundings. But I'd like us to consider and remember what we brought back with us. What did we bring back with us? I'm not talking about gifts or souvenirs that you may have brought back or sent back. That's a very nice thing to do. I don't want to minimize the fact that we do need to think about others in that way. But we should also have brought back something else that's much more important. And that's what I'll go into in this message. Every year, when I'm returning from the Feast of Tabernacles, returning home, I contemplate that I'm usually taking the same route back as I took going out, whether flying or driving or any other transportation. But things are different on the way back home. They just have a different look, and I think about things differently. Every one of us returns as a somewhat different person than we were before the feast because of places we went or people we met, experiences we had, and of course there's hopefully some spiritual growth from the messages we heard. And each of these factors changes us in some way. So I again ask a question, how am I different? What did I learn? What did I bring back that has changed me? I'd like to share some thoughts about that with you today and encourage you to come up with some of your own if you haven't already done so. The first thought that comes to mind is that God's church is truly global. I attended the feast in Wisconsin Dells. Now, I don't have the same familiarity with that site as many of the room have, who may have attended there years ago, for many years in a row. So it was a relatively new experience for me to attend at the Dells. We had about 550 people there. That's a rough count. I never heard an exact count, but it was somewhere in that ballpark. They came from various parts of the U.S., and there were a few from other parts of the world. I don't know how many states or nations or nationalities may have been represented there, but we know that God decides when and where and who he will call as his people. And some of his people were there. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10 say, Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10, you don't need to turn there. And they sang a new song saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. So he calls people out of every tribe that he wishes to, every nation that he chooses. I met several people there that I'd like to see again and get to know better, along with a few others that I hadn't seen for many years. It was good to see them again and to get better acquainted. Now, my first goal as a result of this feast is to pray for others, including specific individuals that attended the feast in Wisconsin Dells, and to focus on their particular needs and situations, and use that as a way to make their situations more meaningful to me. And we heard of, well, in particular, John Freeman, who suffered a very severe injury. And he and his wife had to return early to get for the, him to be able to get the care that he needed. And hopefully he is recovering from that. But it's just another of many setbacks that he's had in his life. Another thought is that God works in ways we don't understand. He will surprise us by working in ways we'd never expect. It will be encouraging, just like Elisha and his servant viewing the armies of angels. That's mentioned in 2 Kings 6, verses 13 through 17. I'll just reference that. I won't turn to it, but if you want to write that down, you can look at you may not see God's angels around you, but he has an army of angels that he uses as he wishes, on whom he wishes, for whom he wishes, when he wishes. Another goal for me is to consider the ways that God has worked with specific individuals, as well as groups in other parts of the country or the world. We hear reports of groups of God's people in various parts of the world who may be suffering from disasters or hardships that we don't fully comprehend because we can't relate to it. We haven't gone through that. We can use their callings as a key for hope and enthusiasm and encouragement forever for others. We've heard about the brethren in Colombia who were not allowed to leave the country. They were trapped there. They didn't know when, where, or how they might leave. But fortunately, we received an update yesterday, and we learned that all of them have been able to leave for their homes now. But that wasn't necessarily the outcome that might have happened. And there may be others in similar situations who are facing challenges like that. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. I'll read those two verses. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. A third thought, our life is easy. We have it good. We don't always appreciate that until we learn of others who every day face challenges that we can't even imagine in our own lives. We do have a pretty good life. In Leviticus 23:3, we're told about the Sabbath. And we're familiar with that. I'll just read that verse, Leviticus 23:3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord and all your dwellings. And for many people, that is a challenge, just to take the time off from work on that day, to get that time off, and to schedule time off from work for the holy days. For us, compared to them, we have it pretty easy. Another example, just keeping the Sabbath, keeping the holy days, in terms of affordability, availability, taking time off work or away from business, as I was mentioning, there are those in various parts of the world or even within the U.S. who may have difficulties in taking time off for the Sabbath and have greater difficulties in taking time off for the annual holy days, especially the specific time frame required for the Feast of Tabernacles. And when I was still working before I was retired, they would distribute the holiday calendar or vacation calendar, and the first person to sign up for a spot got that spot, so I made sure that I got in there early and reserved all the holy days, and especially the feasts and Sabbaths, of course, and I let them know that I can't work on Saturdays. And fortunately, they were very respectful of that. If they had Saturday activities going on, my manager was supportive of me and my work, and she said, just don't call him, don't ask him to come in on a Saturday. But not everyone has that ability. So another goal is to focus on the blessings we have been given. Appreciate what we have. Remember that our complaints or trials, as real as they are, would probably be much worse if we were anywhere else other than here. So what does this all mean? Well, we've come through another cycle, through another season of holy days, another review of God's plan for us and for all mankind. It's easy for us to return to our jobs, our lives, our general cares and concerns, and to not think about the Feast of Tabernacles until it comes time to plan for next year. But we went there for a reason. When we look back on this Feast of Tabernacles, what will we remember? Certainly good and proper to remember the good times we had with family and friends, to look back on memorable meals or activities or sites that we visited. It's also good to remember it through gifts and souvenirs that we may have brought back. But we also need to remember the spiritual messages we heard. As an example, at Wisconsin Dells, we heard messages with the titles, A Time of Refreshing, Rejoicing at the Feast, God's Perfect System, How Robust is My Desire to be Taught by God, Seven Characteristics of a Godly Temple, and others. And in going back, looking back on my notes on those messages, those thoughts can help carry us through the coming times. So part of what we remember from the feast needs to be the things that will help us grow and shape our character during the coming year. Imagine a time in the future when our lives will be judged. What if Christ could remark on how much progress we made in overcoming a certain problem, or improving our family life or relationships with others, or the renewed zeal that we seem to show? And what if we could say, yes, that's something I brought back from the feast in 2024, and it has stuck with me ever since. God's plan doesn't end with the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day. We should carry what we learned throughout the year, and I hope that each of us brought something back that can help us in our lives during the coming year, and that we can use it to build on for our future in God's kingdom.